both very wet and sticky. I sat there, watching. I was trembling violently as I sat, looking at the small slot, waiting, ever waiting. My nails dug into my flesh as I clenched my hands. I passed my arm over my hot, wet face down which sweat was pouring. The suspense was unbearable. I bit my lip in an attempt to stop trembling with the terrible burden of anxiety. Suddenly, the slot opened, and in dropped the mail. I grabbed at my eagle and ripped off the wrapping paper. My ordeal was over for another week. D.N. Adams, age 12, Brentwood, Essex, January 23rd, 1965. The Voices of All Our Yesterdays. I vaguely remember my school days. They were what was going on in the background while I was trying to listen to the Beatles. When Can't Buy Me Love came out, I was 12. I sneaked out of school during morning milk break, bought the record and broke into Matron's room because she had a record player. Then I played it, not loud enough to get caught, but just loud enough to hear with my ear pressed up against the speaker. Then I played it again for the other ear. Then I turned the record over and did the same for You Can't Do That. That was when the housemaster found me and put me into detention, which is what I had expected. It seemed a small price to pay for what I now realize was art. I didn't know it was art then, of course. I only knew that the Beatles were the most exciting thing in the universe. It wasn't always an easy view to live with. First, you had to fight the Stones fans, which was tricky because they fought dirty and had their knuckles nearer the ground. Then you had to fight the grown-ups, parents and teachers, who said that you were wasting your time and pocket money on rubbish that you would have forgotten by next week. I found it hard to understand why they were telling me this. I sang in the school choir and knew how to listen for harmony and counterpoint, and it was clear to me that the Beatles were something extraordinarily clever. It bewildered me that no one else could hear it. Impossible harmonies and part playing you had never heard in pop songs before. The Beatles were obviously just putting all this stuff in some secret fun of their own, and it seemed exciting to me that people could have fun in that way. The next exciting thing was that they kept on losing me. They would bring out a new album, and for a few listenings it would leave me cold and confused. Then gradually it would begin to unravel itself in my mind. I would realize that the reason I was confused was that I was listening to something that was simply unlike anything that anybody had done before. Another Girl, Good Day Sunshine, and the extraordinary Drive My Car. These tracks are so familiar now that it takes a special effort of will to remember how alien they seemed at first to me. The Beatles were now not just writing songs, they were inventing the very medium in which they were working. I never got to see them. Difficult to believe, I know. I was alive at the time the Beatles were performing and never got to